Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, it is episode 40 of Coffee and Shell. I am your host, Sleeves, joined by my co-host, Kesso. And this is the season finale of season one of Coffee and Shell, as my man Kesso here is about to, bring someone else into the world, his little daughter. And he's going to have to hang him up for a little while, my man.
Yeah, exactly. So, the 25th we have, is the date, so... I have a month off of paternity leave / PTO. So I figured taking that month, hanging out with my wife and my daughter, which sounds weird. Dude, it's so weird that it just hit us recently. We're going to be responsible for a little human.
Yep.
But it's going to be awesome. I think it'll be great. We're both really excited.
That's good.
We have a bunch of cute clothes and stuff picked out, which sounds lame, I guess, but it's, it is what it is whenever that happens. I have this really cool shirt. It says Fantasy Football Legend because she'll be watching all the games on Sunday with me.
Let's go.
I'm ready.
That's awesome, man. Well, it is. It's been really fun. I wanted to do this year, and you were the only one that I wanted to, be consistent and do it with. So I think our first season was successful, and we will be back at the start of NHL 23, probably throughout September, I would think, as well. But it's tentative. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think we probably went on too long in the summer. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we did, for sure. For sure.
We had that month or two where we were doing the top fives and we were really grasping at straws, but we did it. And this is episode 40. We stuck with something for almost a year.
Yep.
And then we'll be back for, whenever the news starts coming out.
Yeah, and I think that we're going to spend this episode doing a year in review of NHL and what we've seen and liked and disliked. And, we have been pretty negative in the past about the game that we love. But nonetheless, where do you want to start? Let's start with something you really liked about NHL 22's Hockey Ultimate Team.
Okay, I can think of one thing. Okay. The icons were so bad in the game that it actually led people to using active NHL players for once. The prior few years, they were overpowered, so you actually seen people that you saw on the ice at night. So that was a fresh thing to happen this year.
I will say that was I went back and I was looking at some videos I did in NHL 19, and that was the year where I believe every month you got an icon. For just the seasonal reward or the monthly reward or whatever, if you did enough. And I saw a video, and the game was released in September. This is pre-COVID. I think it was NHL 19. And I saw my team on October 2nd. And the only active player was Connor McDavid on my team. Every single thing was icons because I just grinded to get, as many icons as I could, because those are the best cards in the game. So I can agree with that. I would also say that icons were a negative as well, though, as there was simply no way to obtain them or make them useful for a large majority of the year. You agree there?
I do. They weren't great, right? We know that. It kind of sucked, but it was still refreshing from my point of view just to see more active players. They have to find a happy medium, right?
I'll say this. I think that I said this to you earlier. I think that over the last couple of years, I know myself, I've been kind of forgetting about the viewer base that I have or the majority of the player base and been really focused on the competitive side. I don't know if that's because of my involvement with the GWC or just being a pretty decent player as a whole. And you kind of forget about the guys that, are in divisions 4 and 3 and they just play a couple times a week and it's no big deal. And I think that one thing that was really positive that they added throughout halfway through the year was the upgradable master set so that you could actually obtain them. I do think that those were cool. I hated that they were capped. and they slowly just became kind of useless and very, very expensive again. But I do think that upgrade system, it's a start. I feel like we are at a point with Hockey Ultimate Team where, as a consumer, we are legitimately being scammed every year because there's no other hockey game anymore. I did a video looking back at the past few Hockey Ultimate Teams, and NHL 20, the weekly thing to do was Rivals, Squad Battles, Hut Champs, and I don't even think Hut Rush was in the game yet. I think that was 21.
I think that was new for 21.
Yeah, so there was no Hut Rush. However, there was online seasons that had no rewards essentially to it, so they killed the mode. And I think Draft Champs was in the game with zero rewards as well. Yeah. That is, if we enter into NHL 23, and we have no confirmation of this, with that being the exact same weekly cycle, I don't know how else we can justify playing the game at that. And I'll use this as an example. So Madden just launched, and Madden had the most hype I think I've ever seen it have. I follow a lot of really big creators among all other games, and Madden, you know, last year's Madden was atrocious, much like 22 in my opinion for NHL, but Madden's specifically was absolutely atrocious. The gameplay, if there is, people complain about pay to win in NHL, it's not even close.
Yeah, Madden's been the most pay to win for years.
Madden is absolutely god awful because if you don't have a 99 speed wide receiver or cornerback to cover a wide receiver, like that GG, they can just throw it down the field. And what happened was, I personally love franchise mode in Madden, but I would play it, and then once I was done, I'd forget about it. It's not something I mained or dumped in thousands of hours, but I put in probably about 50 to 100 hours every year of Madden franchise mode, not on stream. I just like playing it. And I was kind of just ignorant to the fact that it'd been the exact same for like 7 years. And they made a like movement. And I remember even prior and during last year when they released the game, the community of Madden was so hard on EA that they had to come out and say, hey, we're having these three big live series updates for franchise mode. We're completely redoing it. And that didn't happen in 22. 23's franchise mode, I've watched a lot of streams today and some of the videos that had been released prior. It looks fantastic. So, but the point I want to make here is that they made enough noise where EA Sports, the Coca-Cola of video game companies, where they don't really care about your opinion because you will still pay and you will still buy and they will still survive. They listened. I simply do not know, you know, how many more, like I would have to assume there is no Draft Champs being added. Again, maybe I'll be stunned and surprised. I didn't think X Factors were going to be in the game last year at this time. So, you know, who's to say? But if Draft Champs isn't in, I don't see them putting in a new mode. And it appears to me that Rivals, the whole point of Rivals is literally just an excuse to say something's in the game, and it's so easy to maintain because they just pre-send, here's the five player pool cards, and here are the, you know, random arbitrary objectives to go do, and then because they don't want it to be a competitive mode, there's no good rewards, and they just set it and forget it. Like, I don't understand. Like, how would you...
My question for you, though.
Yeah.
So those changes came in Madden because there was so much noise around it, right? You had prominent community members, you know, voicing their concerns. You had, like, a ton of people. I feel like that still happens in NHL. It's just the game's not big enough, right? Because you're probably, besides Nasher, you're probably the biggest content creator.
Mm-hmm. And I pale in comparison to, like, ScoMo or MMG,
yeah,
and
like all those people in like Madden and stuff are obviously bigger and like, right, but like still in NHL you're the second biggest besides Nasher, and you're pretty harsh. Now whenever it comes like down like the step below, like some of those people aren't as critical, but I still like, I feel like there's a lot of content creators that are like, I'm pretty critical on Twitch and like YouTube and Twitter and all that. I'm not as big as some of the other ones. But there's still a lot of negative publicity whenever it comes to NHL, but there's still no changes to HUT. You know, like, is there at a certain point enough noise it's made that they'd have to do some changes or what?
I think I have a real, you know, maybe tinfoil hat scenario here. I've said this before on the podcast, I would hazard a guess that Ultimate Team modes in every single game, whether it be NBA 2K, had their two biggest years ever because of the pandemic. One, people are at home, and two, people were getting free money to sit at home. And when you give people that don't have a lot of money, they don't save it and spend it rationally. They try to get rid of it because they're comfortable with having no money, which is a whole other psychological issue. But
yeah, I mean, I would agree with more with your first point than the second point.
But like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there is a lot more people. So you get an EA executive at EA Sports, not EA NHL, that says, wow, Hockey Ultimate Team, keep doing what you're doing. You know, game sales, maybe you're a little down. Let's work on World of Chell. Like,
yeah.
Because World of Chell is what is, there is no monetization there, which there should be, not attributes, but it's gotten to the point where it's like, dude, I don't want to.
Cosmetically, there should be.
Yeah, like that's insane to me. I get that EA is like, you know, we're completely free to play. We're not going to charge you for any of your cosmetics. It's like, but dude, I don't want to play 4 months to not have a jersey tuck. Like, let me buy it. But you know what I mean? I think that's something that is kind of forgotten. Is people either have time or they have money. And unfortunately, some people don't have either. And that sucks. You know what I mean? Like, that's just reality, right? If I am someone that values my time so much more than money, I have a really bad relationship with money in the sense that, like, if I need more, I'll go earn it. I'll find a way. I will literally just go and earn it. It's whatever. Time, to me, is way more valuable. So if I want to hop into a game, Madden today, I'm going to mess around in Madden Ultimate Team for, like, 2 months or a month, 6 weeks, I'll get to Division 1 because I've done that the last couple of years, and then that'll be it. I spent $200 in packs today because at launch I want to have a decent team, and I'm completely okay with that, right? And I think that in Hockey Ultimate Team, like, you know, or in World of Chell, like, if you're going to spend, you have to spend a ton of time to get what you want. That's just kind of, you know, we're not, it's like an archaic thing, you know, where they could make a lot of money. And maybe that would alleviate and more money coming into the game would allow them to work on Hockey Ultimate Team.
No, I'm at the point where I don't think, because like I feel like they're making a lot from Ultimate Team, right? We've learned, I highly doubt their headcount is increasing on their dev team due to that money.
And that won't ever happen. Like, no, I've said that before. Because,
like you said, the numbers are good. The numbers are good and hot. Mm-hmm. Like no matter how bad the mode is, people are spending time doing their weekly chores. They're playing their squad battles games. They're playing their rivals games. And those engagement numbers are looking pretty solid to EA. And that's all that matters.
I agree. And it's unfortunate. I've said this before as well. Like, I will always want the game to be better no matter what. Even, like, you know, if I don't agree with, like, gameplay stuff, you know, because I think gameplay is so subjective, I will never comment on gameplay ever again. I've realized that there is no way ever there will be an NHL game where everyone agrees this is the best gameplay.
Yeah.
You will never get that because the game of hockey has, in terms of a video game, is not like ones and zeros. Like in Madden, if you understand, the way to get better at the game is knowledge, right? Hockey requires, the NHL video game requires the most amount of thumb skill of any game, of any sports game. And the luck that comes into every game that people view as ice tilt is unfortunate, but that happens in the real game. So yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like no matter what, it'll never be something where everyone can enjoy, because it is kind of a damning game where you can play great defensively, but you know, a shot goes off of your guy's ass and it's in the net. And it's like, dude, that happens in real life. Like Luongo literally got scored on by hitting the ref right in the schmank. It went right off his nuts into the net. Like that happened. So like, the fact that that can happen is why I will never comment on gameplay. But like, I will always be on the side of improvement of the mode, because if the mode is better and more people enjoy it, you know, odds are my numbers go up, right? You know what I mean? Like selfishly, I want the game to be better, but that doesn't, you know, we both have the same, you know, the same path and like desire, right? And I don't know, I have a fear that it will be the same cycle. What I'm super curious about is cross-console, because Madden didn't have it. Madden doesn't need it, but Madden didn't have it. FIFA did have it, and FIFA doesn't need it. And I really thought that when cross-console came out for EA, this would be an across-the-board thing, and it was actually reported that that was the plan. as an earnings call back, like in a year, it was like a year ago, was like the intention is for every NHL or every video game title by EA to be cross console, and FIFA being it, I was like, okay, sick. And Madden's not. It's like, that's not good news. Because you know, the NHL devs have never, we have never innovated a mode. It has.
I disagree.
Well, I mean, Hut Rush, I guess.
No. NHL was the first one with that team play.
What do you mean?
I know that's a long time.
Oh, World of Shell, you mean, right?
Yeah, EASHL.
Oh, like no. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm talking Hockey Ultimate Team.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah. And yeah. World of Shell is phenomenal. Like, that's one of the best, like, other than NBA, where, you know, like, that's obviously ascended everything. But no, I agree. I think which is why World of Shell is the most played mode, right? And they put so much resources into changing it. If you go back year over year, regardless if you like it or not, World of Shell changes more every single year than any other mode that's in NHL. But for Hockey Ultimate Team, you know, my fear is a couple things. Let's bridge the conversation to this. Okay. What are a few things that if you do not see in 23, you will get that pit of your stomach, like, like not dreams of grandeur, like, you know, like that's something that is just unheard of, like probably a salary cap mode, but like, give me something that if you don't see
that's only been in the other Ultimate Team games for 5 years, but yeah, sorry.
I mean, hey, 5 years, yo, it's on its time before NHL. Maybe we'll get it.
Yeah. No, I think the main one's cross console. If that's not in the game mode, that's bad. That's sad. Another one that I think has to be in the game is just upgrading a player, like through using them, through scoring.
Like the parallel system in MLB or something
some sort of system like that.
I'm fearful of that because there's no other EA game that has that. And I think it's a business thing, man. I honestly don't see I don't know if they like that aspect. And for anyone that doesn't know what we're talking about, in MLB, there's a parallel system where if you play with that player and you do well with him, he earns experience and he can go up to a +5 overall in every attribute cap. Whatever card it is, does not matter. And if you sell it and you buy it back, he still has it. But any EA game, it changes things, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm expecting it to be the same. And I would like to see some sort of improvement on just the untradeable thing where everything you get is untradeable and there's no changing your team late in the year. That's not one specific feature, but I think that's just an improvement on whatever ecosystem they have going on.
I will be really, really disappointed if we cannot get a customized X factor.
I forgot about that one. That one's
pretty good. That is not in the game, man, X Factors are just like every other mode in Hockey Ultimate Team. They come out, they're flashy, they get promoted. It looks like it's something strong that can be built upon, and then it is forgotten about until it's enough years have gone by that they just remove from the game. Yeah. If we don't get the ability to, like synergies, change the abilities that are unlocked by future cards, X Factors are nothing more than just cool card art. That's it. And I don't write code, but I cannot see how this would be some daunting task that if.
It can't be because the synergy thing's in there to change.
Exactly.
Synergy,
like, right? That's understand. Like, if Matthew Tkachuk is an X factor, which for all intents and purposes, he would have to be in the game for next year. If he comes with it's tricky, which does make sense for the player, and X factors are part of, you know, there's hype to it, there's marketing around it. Totally, he should come with it's tricky. If he is stuck with it's tricky as an X factor his whole season, that is a garbage card compared and again, because of the cost that it would take to upgrade him and the fact that his X factor is completely pointless because they do have an impact. Now, if he has a couple of great games, he scores a couple of dirty goals around the crease and he gets his prime time gets, you know, close quarters, and we can then go in and change it's tricky to close quarters. Now we're talking. We got X factors. I would consider upgrading X factors. I probably still wouldn't, but I would consider it.
Yeah, because it was so disappointing, like late in the year. Like, let's say you had like X factor McKinnon. I think he had puck on a string, maybe, or like the one
ankle breaker, puck on a string
breaker, right? But there was a McKinnon that came out with unstoppable force. that was way better because it's unstoppable force, but you're stuck with that X factor with ankle breaker.
Yep. It's that is one of the more unfortunate ones, because it seems like such a small thing, but it would have such an impact on X factors. I think honestly the biggest one for me is cross market. Now I would assume that if we get cross console, we'll get cross market. But if we don't get cross console and we don't get cross mark, and I would actually be concerned, not business wise for myself, because the game sport here for anyone that, you know, behind the curtain, sports video game creators, they have a great advantage over other video game creators in the fact that no matter what, we will get a boom. You will get a few months that you will get a surge of views and traction and all of that. But obviously then you also have the death of it, or the crater, which is what NHL creators are going through right now.
Besides Thrash, who's crushing it.
People love their packs, brother. They love their packs in August. But regardless, I would be concerned because, man, did interest really die when any new card that comes out, it's just a banner. You're never going to find it, ever.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And they released 50 million.
Like every single time I go on Twitter at a little bit after 5 o'clock my time, and Fosto's tweeting out the new banners, and I'm not going to mute him because what Fosto does for the community is great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how are they releasing so many cards every day? You look today, I bet you there was 40 new cards.
I don't know if this is a philosophy thing or what. I remember, I want to say, maybe I'm misremembering, and for anyone that's, listening or watching, let me know. But when Nicholas was the content developer, now he's the HUT mode developer, which is awesome. Nicholas is one of the best developers that we have. He went a more moments style, where there was two or three cards released, but they had a moments banner, kind of what they have now. But he wasn't releasing 12 cards every day. And it's just where are you getting the packs, man? If, other than Thrash, who's got 4 accounts, in August, fueling the market. There is no one pulling these things.
That's straight right there. That's him.
If you want the cards, you're never going to get them. So they're just there to say they're there. And I don't know how they change that, but my biggest fear for 23 is that X factor thing, like I mentioned, and no cross console or cross market, and then there's nothing new about the weekly cycle. I'll say this: if we got Rivals and it had a leaderboard, I want to know if that would change the mentality of Rivals, because I honestly think it would. I think it would change it quite a bit.
What if it was properly implemented, right? But it here's the thing. Is it going to be properly implemented if that's in the game? We don't know, because the last time they had the leaderboards with online seasons, it was awful, and it was just based on how many wins you had. There wasn't an ELO system. So it's every single thing that EA could have comes with by the way, this is what it is. It's not exactly what you wanted. It's in the game like this. And that's always the case with all of these things. It's the case with Hut Rush. Right? It was the case with Draft Champs.
Hut Rush has become the saddest thing for me, because I remember when it came out and I was a game changer and I was this is awful. It's just not. And then I will admit I was wrong, because I think the mode has a ton of potential and is kind of fun, but it is executed so poorly because they just want a set it and forget it thing that they can put in the game. So they basically just... Here's a random, spit out random objectives, spit up random mode, bang, done. There's no thought to it. And I've mentioned this a million times, man, if there was a week where whoever racked up the most hits in a game and your entire team that you drafted was all guys with truculence, NHL hits.
Too much sense.
You can make NHL hits. It makes me so rattled that is potential in the game. Here's something I actually want to bring up to you, because we joke about how, NHL gets things 5 years later. You know what Madden brought in this year? A season pass.
Which, I saw that, yeah.
Yo, that gives me hope. Because, like I said, for Rocky Ultimate Team, we've never had some... Rivals was stolen right from FIFA. I think Squad Battles was stolen from both. Champs, I believe, was... I don't know if actually Champs... Champs came around, so...
Madden had Weekend League.
Madden had Weekend League. Same situation, dude. Like, there, other than Hot Rush, which is... I don't think Hot Rush will ever go away because it is so easy to maintain. But
they could just replicate whatever like 52 weeks they did this year. They can just put that into NHL 23 and nobody would notice.
And how like percentage wise, what do you think that how high do you think that is that they do that?
I would bet good. I would say 65%.
I was
right?
gonna go 70.
Obviously, they're gonna tweak a few weeks around like an event. But
I think it's going to be almost identical. I'm so curious because they have to do something new. And, you know, again, we are very negative about the game, but we play it way too much. But we are also super passionate. So we love the game and we love hockey. I was surprised last year about X Factors. I think the upgrade system, that was a positive. If we want to shed some, you know, some positivity on it. Sure. I think that has potential and at least shows that they can do an upgrade thing to it. Icons being plus one. God. They went that way because in prior years, what ended up happening was they would randomly release them. But then you ran into that issue where, you know, people wanted a Dan Boyle. But he got it. He was released at the early beginning of the year, and he was like an 85. But now we're in February, and there's no Dan Boyle, right? But man, like, I would love it if, like, you know, there's a Flashback Friday, and every, you know, there's a new icon that comes out, something. But
that's what I don't get. So why in NHL they do it every year? All of the icons come out at the beginning of the year with very, very few exceptions. Rick Nash was an exception this past year, mm-hmm. right? But, like, all of them are released day one. You look at MLB, they space it out. You look at Madden, they space it out. I'm assuming FIFA spaces it out. Like, why don't they, like, save some things for it's like, oh, I know there's going to be, you know, Marian Gaborik, who might technically be an active player. But, like, oh, he's coming out in March. That's exciting.
This is all because... the different card types that are in NHL. So right now, off the top of my head, the only different card types, Prime Times, Team of the Week, Master Set Player, Base Card, Icons, and Event Card. I don't believe... and Champs, Hot Champs.
Yeah.
There is legitimately not... none of those... are tied to a specific performance or criteria other than being released so that you could chase something. So what I mean by that is in MLB, it doesn't work like that. Other than, I guess, play Team of the Month or Player of the Month, right? But that's a program that comes out. But the card types in MLB, All-Star. So... You want a Rob Blake All-Star card? Here are the stats from his All-Star card that would represent what he would be when he had his All-Star season, postseason. So, Logan Couture's Cup run. If you gave him he should have won the Conn Smythe. He had the most points in the NHL that in the playoffs against Pittsburgh that year. Like, he would have got a postseason card from 2016. It's like 96 overall, right? Like, it's just. It's the brain pain, bro. Like, that's the difference. So, like, in NHL, we get reacting. There's no, like, planned, you know? Yeah. And even the events don't make sense. Like, they don't make sense. Like, Superstar Origins, I guess, kind of made sense, you know? Because it was like highlighting players from where they first came from. Okay. Rivals could have been something as well, but then it's like, the 16 bit event, dude, that
is, I think, that the Eric Brandstrom one?
That will haunt me for like the rest of my days that I'm covering this mode. That stupid event, like, you could have just done all icons that were in the 16-bit era.
It's so funny because they have this need to do, like, they view NHL 94 as the pinnacle, right? Like, internally, it seems. So it's like every year we have to have a 16-bit event. That's fine. But, like, you have these – Jesus, the dog. You have these icons that were here in NHL 94 that were in the game. Why don't you have them in the game?
Like, why is Jeremy Roenick and Gretzky and Lemieux and – like, they usually get something, but, like – Igor Larionov, like, you know what I mean? Like, Mark Messier, like, why are those guys not getting it? And why are you highlighting random current players that weren't even alive during the 16-bit era? Like,
no idea.
And, like, that's the issue, right? It's very, very odd to me. I do, however, think that the event every 2 weeks system is a positive in the sense that you gotta log on, man. There's so many eyes every Friday on the game that I actually think that is a positive. Like, they're doing something well because everyone's numbers jump up. If you're a streamer, you know, everyone wants to see what the new cards are. But yeah, like, I am worried. 22 was just man, we are gonna look back on 22 as one of the worst games, I think.
Yeah, I think so,
you know. And I think there's a lot of easy fixes, because if the game was cross console, or let's say a new console didn't come out and 22 just released like 21 did, I honestly don't think it would have been that bad. But you are already starting like at -5 because of the
force. And they had the new engine or whatever this year that caused a lot of issues. I'm assuming that's the reason for a lot of the disconnect issues and stuff like that that happened this year. Or like the random bugs where the, you know, the AI or the crowd would be dancing whenever you got a penalty.
Dude, or the T?
Yeah.
Like, dude, they were all doing that, bro. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. I want something to be excited about, and I find myself not nearly as excited and more fearful. And this is solely coming as a creator. Okay, I've been doing this now for 5 years. 6 years now. This will be my third game where I'll be a full-time creator. And every year, the last few years, has been my biggest year, which is great. But this year was the first year it felt like a job at points in the year. And that's ridiculous. I play video games for a living, man. There's people out there roofing in August, right? Like, that's a job, dude. Like, I can't complain, right? I'm blessed to be in the position I'm in. But, you know, it scares me that, like, I don't have faith anymore that they'll come out with some cool features that, you know, are sustainable long term. And maybe they will, right? I think a leaderboard in Rivals, I've been asking for that since they took it out. I'm really curious to see. Do you think that that would solve at least a little bit in terms of Rivals?
A little bit for me, for some of the competitive players, for sure. But I don't think it solves it for, like, the top 10%.
I guess you're right, man. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess that really doesn't do much for players that don't, you know. Another thing that, you know, I think is overlooked, we talked about this a couple times too. They always want to find ways to improve gameplay, right? And what is so mind-boggling to me, since 2004, the way the AI plays has been exactly the same. And it would stand to reason that if you change the way the AI operate game by game and player by player, opponent by opponent, that the game would feel quite different. Now, if there was 6 strategies instead of 3, maybe you wouldn't have to worry about stick and physics and wacky inflatable tube man situations or passing that, you know, you turn off the auto pass, which is fine, and it creates a skill gap. However, for whatever reason, every time that you try to pass the puck for a one-timer off the rush or hit a guy in stride, he wants to Mario Lemieux it like he's at the Olympics and let it go through his legs to the farthest guy, which is broken, by the way, guys. Like, that hasn't been fixed. And, you know, stop messing with that and just give us some new strategies. But the point I want to make here, Madden this year, so a really big high praise thing for Madden, has been that this is the first time for Madden players that grinding offline appears to be have the ability to give you a decent team, which has never been a thing for Madden. And for the most part, hasn't really been a thing for EA. You can argue that EA NHL gives you up packs. Sure, that's cool. But my packs could be different from your packs. I guarantee you there's been times where I've finished at 157th and you've finished sixth and I've gotten better pulls than you, right? Like, yeah. That's ridiculous, right? So I think that one thing that I find crazy, they're trying to come up with new and crazy modes and ways to keep your engagement. My God, dude, like, moments in MLB, big hit for offline players, no pun intended. Madden, I grinded out offline challenges today on stream during my playthrough of Madden for 4 hours, and I enjoyed it. And it was like, here's Joe Mixon, run 60 yards on this drive. If you don't, it resets. And when you do, it ends. Like, if they redid the offline hut challenges, which have been the exact same since NHL 20, this would be the fourth game in a row that they would be the exact same, and I see no reason to think that they would ever pay attention to that. You have something that's really fresh, and maybe it, you know, like, I would love it if there was one developer dedicated to just coming up with a new set of moments every event. And I don't know how difficult it could be.
You would have to think that they've made enough money off Ultimate Team to bring in somebody to go over
these moments. Yeah, NHL has, but EA is the one that determines their budget.
No, I know, but you would still have to think that logically, if you want a better experience for the consumer, you can bring in anybody just to go and design these moments and have them end after a set amount of time, whatever.
We've talked about this a lot, that there are great things in NHL in all other modes that for whatever reason cannot be in HUT. You can player lock and be a pro. Why can you not player lock in Hockey Ultimate Team in a moment? Put it on the classic view, even, like the dynamic whatever, and you've got to score 5 goals with Timo Meier against the Kings. Like
you know, it'd be cool too. Like, and I'm speaking selfishly as like a content creator now. Yeah. That'd be something to do towards the beginning of the year, have like YouTube videos on and stuff or whatever. And that's the thing, like, and you've mentioned earlier, if the game's better, it makes your job better. It
100%.
Makes
everyone wants to see more stuff. Yeah.
People would be entertained more.
100%.
Like, we'd all just want a better game.
I think that for offline players in Hockey Ultimate, I really feel poorly for you. Like, I feel bad for you guys, because at least I can play Hut Champs, you know, maybe not well. I can get 15 wins, right? Which is fine. I'm proud of those 15 wins. Okay, I can get to Division 1. Man, like, if you're in Division 5 and you're not playing champs, dude, like, and it's like, well, why are you playing the game? It's like, man, we love hockey. What are our other options, right? Like, this is
that's the thing, though. If you're an offline player, I don't know why you would play Ultimate Team. I know for MLB, I played it for a month or two this year as an offline player, and I enjoyed doing like the moments or conquest mode, and like, I had fun. More fun than I would in that game than if I did like franchise mode, because there were cool things in there, right? NHL doesn't have that.
The team building aspect. Like, you asked why do people play NHL offline? They have no other ability to play another NHL video game, right? So this is all we've got, and people like building their team. And, you know, squad battles is cool, sure. Like, that
sucks.
It is. Like, that's it. Like, that's all you've got, because you've got that and offline challenges, and it's like, dude, I complain that there's not enough to do.
Like, yeah, squad battles is the only option for those offline players, but it's like, it's a year. I don't know how long it's been in the game. It's the same thing. It's the only difference between from when it was first implemented to now is that you can play all your games in one sitting.
You can refresh it. Yeah, and you can choose like the time and periods and whatnot, but no one does that, I don't think. Like,
why was that put in? Because you can't get the max points. I would like to know what percentage of people that play squad battles solely for, you know, as offline players, change those settings to get less points.
That'd be interesting. Like, what do you think they're, like, dude, a moment's overhaul. I just logged off Madden, and I'm just like, I was sitting on stream, I'm like, guys, like, if this is just in NHL, man, you know, like, that changes the entire offline experience for the player. Not to mention, even online players, you get a grind that isn't monotonous. I think the big issue about NHL is that at its hardest level, okay, I would be willing to bet a lot of money that on Superstar, that the majority of the player base that plays the game, so we're talking NHL, FIFA, Madden, okay, MLB, if you did Superstar against the CPU, it is, I bet you, more than 50% of the player base can easily win. And by easily, I mean, like, you're not winning by one or overtime. Like, you're winning by a couple goals, okay? I'd say 50% of the player base. And I'm not, even if you're in Division 4, okay? If you're in MLB, if they put a moment out that was on Legend, dude, you're born with the ability to hit on Legend. Like, you're not, like, that's not something you just get, like, you know what I mean? Like, and Madden? Good luck. Like, there's no way that you're going to play all Madden offline in a moment, right? But it's so difficult, or more difficult, that it adds a little bit more. Humans just don't like being, you know, they want the easiest route, the path of least resistance, but that leads to boredom immediately because the reward is so much less. Like, if there was a moment on Superstar or All Madden and Madden that you had to do to get a card, and you sat there for 6 hours grinding it, and it was the absolute hell trying to do it, but you got it, that dopamine spike is going to go through the roof, and, like, you're all loving it. If you were to do it at NHL, man, like, you can get it done in one thing, and it's like, whatever. It's like playing franchise mode, and you're playing every game and winning by 70. That gets old because there's no dopamine kick to just absolutely slamming the CPU. So
that's what I don't get about the, like, I get people enjoy the weekly rewards in squad battles, but
it's they're better the than any, they're the best rewards.
Yeah, they are, because you can get,
you, like, get coins and packs.
But, like, it's the same thing. You have to win by five. You have to get 20 shots, mm-hmm. right? So it leads to people putting their controller down for half the game because they can get it immediately. And that's what, there's 37 games. That's like 9 to 10 hours a week. Yeah. And they have to change up something in squad battles.
I would love to see seasons. I think I mentioned this too. For like,
like MLB, right?
Yeah, like, you go in, you got to play 16 games to qualify for the playoffs, and depending on what difficulty you choose, that guarantees the reward that you're going to get if you can actually complete it. That's a very simple fix, but I just feel for offline players. I really think, much like the gameplay thing, if you added in more strategies, gameplay would feel so drastically different from game to game that it would be fresh. You go on Reddit, and I feel for these guys that complain about, you know, all that is cross-crease one-timers. You know, and for the last decade, it was short-side wristers, but they overtuned goaltenders for short-side this year, and now the good players go far-side. But that's a whole other argument. But, like, people complain about that, but your objective is to win, and you're not cheating. Those people that just go for one-timers, like, they're not cheating. That is the way that you score. And there's only three strategies, and for the most part, two of them every year are borderline useless. So for basically from NHL 08 all the way until 18 was really the death of, or 19 was probably the death of it, was overload. You just used overload. That was it.
Overload was the best one.
Overload was it, because it gave you a one-timer in the slot, and people couldn't just sit in the middle because they didn't, because the AI, you know, would spread out. And then it switched to behind the net. Overload was completely useless because everyone started collapsing and protect net, and there's no way to get that one-timer through. So now it's behind the net, right? So then you're playing, no matter who you're playing, you are playing behind the net. And there's only three ways to score, like, essentially with that. So your experience is the same thing over and over again. And if you're not a great player, you're going to lose to the same goals because that is all of the goals that are available to you, right? Like, for the opponent to score. If you have six strategies, and a lot of people would, like, bring back custom strats, I feel like that would absolutely destroy NHL to the point where they would never be able to fix it, and it would be a lost year. Because you would get, in the information age that we live in now, dude, you and me and, you know, Polgs and everyone else would be like, this is how you score a goal every single time. Like, here's a breakout that gets you a breakaway every single time. And, like, some people would just click on that YouTube video, and that's all you would see. Right, so I'm not in the custom strats thing for online play. I think for offline, sure, that'd be cool. But again, you would get the same thing, people just cheesing the game to get the rewards. I think that you add in six different ways to play, you know, you're going to have a much more different feel than whatever random new physics skating flashy name that they come out with next to make it, like, feel amazing. It's like, dude, the game is still, at the end of the day, you are still going to cut into the middle or look for the backdoor cross-ice pass. Like, that's it, dude.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I'm down on this, but...
I am. I'm wondering. I think, I've been super, feeling super negative just about the game in general. in terms of like the future of the game, right? I think every single year, because it seems, and this is opinion based, not fact, not I'm saying it, they're short staffed as a dev crew. So every single year, all these other sports games are passing them up just because they're funded way more by EA, and they can only add so much within like an 8 to 9 month development cycle that they're just like, they're 3 to 5 years behind at least from other sports games. And it's only going to continue to get worse, because for every 2 to 3 features that FIFA or Madden add, NHL can add one maybe.
No, it is.
I just don't know.
It is awfully tough. I still stand by that the game after we get cross console will be the best NHL we ever get, because I think it will finally, they'll be able to break out of the handcuffs that are on them because there is no player base. The Rivals glitch that was implemented because they knew that you couldn't find a game, they no longer have to have things in there to allow you to find an opponent. There is enough people that play the game, right? But because it is server-based, you just cut that into 8. And then you cut it into 4, and then you cut it into 8. And it's like, now there's nobody. Like, dude, like, there's nobody. And I think that once it's cross-console, man, we're going to see, you can see new modes. There's a lot of good things that will come once that happens. But I don't know if this is the year. If there is no cross-console this year, man, you were right. Like, and there has been no news, which kind of makes me optimistic.
I'm fine with that, because I mean, ever since they went to that October like release, I think the end of the month is when we get things, right?
Yeah. Like the end of August. Yeah. Like yeah. It's just like there, you know, there wasn't some random, you know, guy that like random executive that like, oh, cross console will be implemented in a year. Like, you know, there's been nothing like, and I'm excited to see, you know, the potential of it, but you know, we'll have to wait and find out about that. And you know, I don't know. I'd love to go back and listen to like our first episode where we're all excited about 22, and we thought Heatseeker was so good.
I was really excited because like playing like the early build we had, with the passing the way it was in the build, it seemed like there was more of a chance of like more realism added, and like more dump and chase, some other things, some skill based things too mixed in with that. I thought certain things would matter when they didn't. And then the game also was just a broken mess in some aspects too. So I was really hopeful for 22. I'm not going to carry that same optimism into 23, no matter what, because I learned my lesson clearly. Yeah, that would be interesting to hear though.
I know, like, dude, I'll never forget that Dennis Potvin episode where we thought that he was going to be the Heatseeker from the point. Like,
I know, right? We were like, oh, I just bought him for 120. Oh, I was going to buy that
dude,
one.
It's absolute garbage. It does nothing.
The funny thing is, we were recording the podcast and I was looking at the auction house, I think. And I was like, oh, I just bought him.
And it was a fun year. I'm excited that we got to, you know, we got to talk every week about it, and I'm excited as a creator. I learned a lot this year. The ups and downs, man. The ability point fiasco, which I think people finally understand that that wasn't all me, and it was a comedy of horrible timing and misinformation and frustration.
Fake news, huh? I said it was fake news, huh?
Yeah, essentially. But no, I think that I had like a reality check that I was ignoring like the casual player, you know? So I'm excited for 23 to get back to kind of where my channel was like built upon, and like helping players that are in Division 5 get to Division 1 as opposed to get to Division 1 and then get to top 100 in Hut Champs. Like, you know, the fact that you can get to top 100 in Hut Champs, like that is that I feel like a lot of people view that as if a player is good or not. And I got caught up in that as well. Dude, that is 100 players on a console in the world. That is not the cutoff if you are good or not. Like I feel like you're a good player if you can get to Division 1. You know, and maybe you're not a great player, right? You're not going to win GWC, but you can get to Division 1, you're a good player. And I feel like it's the same thing in other video games. Like you get to World Series in MLB, that you're a good player. You get to MVP in Madden. That's, you're a good player. Like, and I think that it's just gotten to the point where it's like everyone wants to call everyone, you know, garbage or crap at the game if you can't get top 10 in like Hut Champs. Like, dude, think of that. 10 people. Like, that's a, you know, that's exceptionally difficult to do.
And the same, there's five of them that are always there too.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And it's, you know, I'm excited for GWC next year. I will say this, no memes aside, it will be the best Gaming World Championship we've ever had. From the talks that I've had, I'm really excited for it. Talk to me about what you're excited for next year in terms of content, my man.
Dude, I'm excited to bring some good stuff, man. Like, I'm itching. Like, I'm so ready.
I'm excited for some competition.
Yeah, dude, like, this past year is my first year trying it. And, like, anything with your first year doing something, you're going to do some good things and you're going to make some mistakes. It's
more about just hitting the button.
Yeah, right? Like, that is the biggest one, is, like, going live every week or whatever. But, like, there were some things it took me 3 to 4 months to learn, like, whether that was thumbnails or ways to title a video, that I got to 2,000, like, subscribers by the end of the year, posting, like, twice a week. I was getting, like, 2,000 views a video for, like, just my weekly videos. And, like, I was super proud of that just because it's basically my sub count, right? And then I'm thinking, like, I learned so much this year that, like, I have a plan ready for 23 that, like, my goal is 10,000 subs. And then another reason I'm really excited, and I don't understand how people don't feel this way, is the competition. Like, I want to be better than every other, like, YouTuber, you know, which sounds lame, but, like, I'm bringing that same thing that I used to treat, like, money games and stuff back in, like, NHL 10, right? Like, I want to make better videos than you, for example, Thrash, Henrique. Like, I want to do better than you guys. And I'm coming from, like, the smaller creator side, so I might not hit there on the views count, but, like, I want to make sure the quality is better. Like, no matter what, I'm going to have a better tip video or whatever, you know?
I'll see, like, you in hell, buddy.
I am ready.
Dude, I'll say this, man. Like, 22, jokes aside, I coasted a lot. Like, it was still my best year. But, like, I definitely lost, like, the I don't know if it was my subathon or what it was, man. Like, the subathon did a lot of damage physically, mentally. Like, my interest in streaming absolutely cratered this summer. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that I traveled so much. And I just could not get on a regular schedule that I was normally on. But streaming 40 straight days is a disgusting thing that I would...
Yeah,
it's absolutely... Doing anything for that long, dude. Like, especially just living in your studio. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was disgusting. I was blessed to be able to do it, though. So don't get me wrong. But I definitely, like, coasted a lot. And I just did a lot of the same things I did the prior year. And, you know, I just... My whole focus was like, oh, as long as I'm number one, you know, like, then I don't really care in terms of, like, views and all that kind of stuff. But... I wasn't, like, innovating my stuff. And, like, it's starting to come. Like, I'm starting to... Dude, I said that if you were full-time, you would be my challenge. You would be bigger than me.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get there without being full-time, right? Which is probably impossible, but, like, I'm getting angry, too, right now. I'm getting angry. I'm seeing a lot of bad content out here, and I'm getting pissed off, and I'm ready.
Dude, I love it, dude. I can't wait. I'm excited. I have a 14-page Word doc on my videos and playing stuff for 23. I am fired up, which is good. I'm excited for the competition because, like I said, it's I don't know how to say it without being like, you know, I don't know how to say this without it sounding like bad, I guess, but like I'm ready for someone new, like, to, you know what I mean? Like, I want me 3 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, Polgs or you or someone. Like, there's a lot of good creators that just started, but there's no, like, there's, like, you guys, like, under 5,000 YouTube subs. Getting 1,000 subs on YouTube, by the way, is a very impressive feat. So that's, like, that isn't being me being, I'm only at 39 or 40 or whatever. But, like, that, like, 20 range, right? There isn't anyone. Like, I guess Rival, maybe, but he went such a chase the bag route. Because he went all coin selling, and you'll never be in with EA. Not that you're an EA bootlicker, but you also miss out as a creator some really important business things that you can really help advance your content, right? I remember getting offers about coin sites when I had like 10,000 subs, and I was like, nah, dude, this isn't it. I got a bigger, you know, and thank God I didn't. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, those sites are ridiculous. By the way, guys, don't ever buy coin sites. You'll more often than not spend money, get the coins, and then get banned. So, you know, you hear all about these people that, like, buy coins or whatever. Yeah, but you don't hear about the ones that get banned. So,
yeah.
EA does not like it when people, you know, get around their ability to make money. Trust me. So,
and it's funny because they used to not mind, because I think some of those earlier, like, even game changers were, like, partnered with those.
Yeah. Like, think about Ultimate Team just as a whole in 2014. Like, it's just a new... Like, no one had any idea what the restrictions could be. It's just a whole new thing. It hadn't been flushed out. Like, how you can make so much money as a business. Or just anytime that you find a new way to make money, getting new money is cool. But then after, like, a year or two, you're like, hey, well, wait a minute. I can 2X my return here by telling these coin sites to kick rocks? Okay, you know... You know, wait, untradeable cards? Oh, dude, sign me up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's ways, and, like, it flushes out, and then it becomes lame and whatever, and it's kind of stationary across the whole board of all Ultimate Teams. There hasn't been, like, that new innovative thing about Ultimate Team in a while, right? And I think that, like, yeah, I think that the coin-buying era of, like, that when it was... Or you could, like, pink-slip cards. You'd wager someone cards, like, bro. Ugh. Man, those were the days. I wasn't even around.
Yeah, I didn't like Ultimate Team back then because it was all money games whenever that was around.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, any last words?
No, I mean, not that I know of. I'm excited for this next year. It's going to be I'm kind of scared, too. I'm nervous. It's going to be the busiest year of my life. Like, my last year of school, finishing my master's.
Juggle this.
What's that?
My best buddy just had his little girl in December, and he flips houses on top of being basically like a head plumber for a private school. So he's a very important job, like that. Like, he's like a technician that for an entire huge private school. And he had a daughter, and he flips houses. And he was like, "Oh, dude, it's gonna be great. Like, I'll be fine." And it's like, dude, you know, like, there's a reason why I don't have kids yet.
Dude, that's why I'm so nervous, right? So, like, I have to finish school this year, have a job, have a career, have a baby coming, and then it's like, also, I want to make sure I spend time with my family, and then I'm also doing this thing on the side. It's like, I have to figure out how to manage my time even better, because I've gotten really good at it over the past 3 years.
For anyone that wants to be a creator... And just start out, much like Kesso did last year, right? You probably won't start from the same level that Kesso had, but I would be very clear in the fact that if you, depending on your responsibilities, you have children, or you're married, or you're a caregiver for someone, that's going to change. But the first thing that goes is sleep. If you really, really want to, dude, you have to. Like, I remember I slept like 5 to 6 hours. I'm like, dude, I slept underwater. Like, you know what I mean? That was like the thing. Cause I had a job over 40, 50 hours a week. I was engaged, and all I did was I would go to the gym is when I lost all my weight. And it was like, I'd hang out with my wife, 12 PM or 12 AM would come. I'd spend 2 hours making a video. And then I would wake up at 6 AM from 2. And that was how I basically just fit it in, right? Like, it's tough. I think, like, a lot of creators want to fit it in perfectly, and it's not something that you can leave, right? Like, you've got to – it has to be constant. The YouTube algorithm is absolutely brutal. The Twitch algorithm is even worse because people will just leave if you're not there all the time, right?
Yeah. But, yeah. No, I mean, I'm really lucky. My wife's amazing. She loves that I am so into this.
And she's like, dude, so I'm pumped up, man.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that I – The fire in you is contagious, and you should always be around people that you want to be like. And like I said,
for sure, I think that's so important, right? Yeah. Like, I'm somebody, I keep my circle small. Like, I have like 3 friends in real life, mm-hmm. and then like on here, I only talk to a few people. You have to associate with like-minded people whenever it comes to certain things.
And I think that, like, kind of like comes back to like the creators that, you know, when you look at MLB. There's probably 10 to 12 that are full-time and making a living out of it. And it's like, maybe you don't jive with one or two of them, right? But there's 12 of them, right? And for the most part, they're all boys. And in the NHL community, it's the same. But, like, it's like, for the most part, it's been me, Henrique, and Thrash. I've met both of them. They're great dudes. Henrique's too much younger than me. Like, so we're at different stages in life. You know, Thrash's content is geared to a different audience. So it's like, we don't have like that, like, I don't have that like in common, you know what I mean? And then like, that's it. Like, there, like I said, there's no one in that middle range, bro. It's like all guys just starting out. And that's why I'm excited about like you and Polk and some of the other guys that, dude, I remember hounding you for like 2 years to make YouTube videos, right? And like,
I know. I wish I would have started earlier, but everything in life, you know, what is it? It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Is that
something,
you know,
like that? And I think
something like that.
With that motivational quote from Kesso, we will end the first season of Coffee and Shell, as my man here is going to welcome his daughter into the world. So congratulations again, buddy. I'm super excited for you. I know that it's been fun watching you be excited this whole year. And to everyone listening, thank you guys, obviously, for sticking with us. It was an idea that I don't know if I had it or you had it, or if I had it and I forgot about it, and then you were like, yeah, let's do it. I don't know how it came to be.
Pushed you towards it last
yes,
year. You had mentioned it a week later. I'm like, why don't we just record it tonight? Why don't we just do this once a week?
That's how it started. And next year, it will be much better. But next year, in 6 weeks. In 6 weeks, we'll probably be back. But any last words, bro?
Dude, anybody that watched or listened or watched my stuff this year, thank you. It was a fun year. I don't know. I feel like we're all growing up in front of the camera here, huh?
That's it, man. That's it. It's how it goes. All right, guys. I will be back over the next coming weeks with a guest host probably just to talk hockey, not so much NHL. Or if there's news about NHL that's pretty pertinent, like a gameplay trailer or something like that. But for the most part, this will probably be it for the first season. So thank you guys again for watching. Downloading on Spotify and all of that, man, we had like 30,000 downloads, which is nuts to me, but I appreciate it.
30,000 losers, that's what it is.
That's it. You're not losers, guys. All right, guys, I'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Hey there, did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.